This morning we're continuing a series on unwrapped gifts, looking at a variety of gifts that the Bible says God gives to His children. Gifts that are meant for us to not just receive, but to unwrap and to use. And we've talked about that throughout this series, that most of us, when we receive gifts from someone, we kind of want to know what it is. So we unwrap it. And once we discover what's inside that packaging, we decide how best to use it. What's its purpose? What's its intent? And we generally try to use it according to what it was designed for. And so far, we've been looking at a variety of gifts using a list that we find in Romans chapter 12, beginning the middle of verse 6. Verse 6, Paul writes to the Romans and to us and says, God has given a variety of gifts, and if your gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And this morning we're going to focus in on that section of leadership. Unwrapping leadership, we ought to discover from God the wisdom to lead. And I want us to go back to the Old Testament book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 3. When I think about this unwrapped leadership, when I think about the gift of God to lead, the first person in the Bible that comes to mind is Solomon. Now, some would think of King David, the ultimate king of Israel. But I love how Solomon rises to power and how he gives us this illustration and this example with his life of the wisdom necessary to lead like God wants us to lead. Now, as I've mentioned, I believe every week as we've talked about these gifts, sometimes we believe, or sometimes we're even taught, that these gifts given by God are kind of a multiple choice thing. You get the gift of leadership. You get the gift of giving. You get the gift of mercy. You get the gift of whatever. But I don't believe that's the way God has given these. Now, I do believe that we receive these in varying levels. But I believe these are gifts that He gives to all of us for the purpose He has in mind for where we're at. And so your gift of leadership might be different than the gift of leadership He's given me, because He's given you different responsibilities. He's given me different responsibilities. But in reality, all of us lead in some way or fashion. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's paying attention to your life. They're noticing how you live. And you may not have an official position of leadership in any group or organization or within the church, but you still lead. And God says if we have this gift and if we use this gift, we ought to use it diligently. We ought to pay attention to it. So sometimes we lead our family. Sometimes we lead our coworkers. Sometimes we lead our parents. Sometimes we lead our fellow students. See, God has gifted us. And I think about, as I go back at times and listen to the messages just to help myself improve, I realize that there are times there I tend to talk about different characteristics of groups of people that are true, but it's not complete. And as I'm thinking about this gift of leadership, I was thinking about the incredible leaders that God has gifted Deer Run. Leaders from our elders and deacons down to our teenagers who lead in so many different ways in their schools and among their peers and in life. But when we look at the examples of the people we know, I think one thing that ought to stand out is the source of their leadership gift. And what does it look like for you and for me to have the wisdom to lead? So many times we tend, at least that was me, I would tend to shy away from any possibility of leadership because I was afraid I'd do it wrong. I was afraid I wasn't up to it. I was afraid they would ask me to do something I didn't want to do. And so for many times, we become content to just kind of sit and participate. For those that have been here a while, and for those that haven't, that's my story of coming to Deer Run. I didn't come as the senior minister. I grew into that, and God led me into that. But I came initially to sit in one of these chairs and to be unnoticed. I just wanted a church that I could fellowship with, I could sing songs of worship to God, and nobody would know who I was, and I wouldn't have to do anything. And look, here I am. Didn't work out so well, did it? At least not by my plan. We resist leadership gifts because when we acknowledge them, we discover we have to use them. And so many times we go into life thinking we're unprepared, probably because we are unprepared. But I think of Solomon following King David, his father, a man who was celebrated by all of Israel, a man who had defeated Goliath, had set the nation free from their oppressors, a man that had delivered God's people from fear. And then Solomon comes along, and God says, it's your turn. You're next. And sometimes following somebody that excels at what they do is a very tough task to be assigned. Solomon knew that in order to accomplish this, it would take courage, but it would also take wisdom. And so I'm going to look at 1 Kings chapter 3. The first part of this originally was looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 1, but the same story is told here in 1 Kings, and I want to look at both the origin and the application. So that's why I moved over to 1 Kings. I think some of my initial publication online this week was the 2 Chronicles passage. But I want us to consider that the wisdom to lead begins with the wisdom to listen. We often think of leading means we're in charge and we're speaking and people have to listen to us. But that's not the way it works. In godly leadership. And so, 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, it says, the king, that is Solomon, went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. It was at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Wow. Ask for whatever you want me to give you. Can you imagine? I mean, just think about the people you know coming to you, someone that you know, maybe they have more means than what you have, coming to you and say, just ask whatever you want me to give you. What would you ask for? Now, it might depend on what you thought they were willing, but what you thought they were able to give. You don't want to ask for too much and embarrass yourself. But what if it was God? And you knew. Solomon went to worship God. He had offered sacrifices to God. He seems to be aware that this is God asking him in a dream to ask for whatever you want. In order for Solomon to ask God anything, he first had to listen. To know, number one, that it was appropriate to ask God. Number two, that God desired for him to ask. Sometimes James writes and says we don't have what we want because we don't ask for it. We're not listening to God saying, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so the wisdom to lead begins with the wisdom to listen to God as he calls to us. But it also involves listening to the people that we lead. The example I want to use is further down in 1 Kings chapter 3. And so we're kind of going to be bouncing back and forth between the first part of the chapter and the ending of the chapter. Verses 16 through 22 of 1 Kings 3 begins a story that may or may not be familiar to you. A very popular story about the wisdom of Solomon. It becomes kind of that crown jewel of example of what godly wisdom looks like. In verse 16 it says, now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house. I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone and there was no one else in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. And so she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I was asleep. And she put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. And then the next morning, I got up to nurse, and my son was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son that I had born. The other woman says, no, the living one is my son, the dead one is yours. But the first one insisted, no, the dead one is yours, the living one is mine. And so they argued before the king. What a story to have to listen to. How in the world do you figure that out? In today's culture, in today's society, we would say, well, this is just a he said, she said scenario. Neither one may be all that believable, or both of them are believable, but it takes more than just ears that listen. It takes a heart that listens. And the wisdom to lead involves us beginning by listening to God. But it also involves us having the courage to listen to people, even to their problems. And maybe especially to their problems. It's generally the problems of life that expose the deep things that are going on within us that we need led through, that we need led out of. And so we begin by looking to God for the wisdom to lead as we listen to Him and to others. The second part of obtaining this wisdom to lead is to seek God for the wisdom to examine. Again, back up to the first part, verse 6 of 1 Kings chapter 3. God has asked Solomon to ask for whatever he wants. Solomon listened. And before he responds, or as part of his response, we discover that he has evidently spent some time examining himself. He says, Solomon answers, "You, God, have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day." Solomon steps back and he examines how he got to where he's at. And he says, "God, it's because of you. It was you that was with my father David. It was you that showered goodness upon this nation. It was you that brought me to the point that I'm at." And as we examine ourselves, we ought to discover that any good that is within me comes from God. That any good that has brought me to where I'm at has been a gift of God. And one of the difficulties we have in this world is Jesus says to his disciples, and when they're arguing about who is the greatest, that we're not to lord position over one another like the world does. You know, world leadership tends to focus a lot on arrogance, a lot on pride, a lot on I'm smarter and better than everybody else, and so you have to listen to me. When we look to God for the wisdom to lead, we discover that we're not all that much. That it's been God working in us and through us all along. And Solomon listens to God, and then he examines himself and he discovers that what he needs most is God. We go back to this second part of the chapter, verses 24 through 26. We'll come back to verse 23 in a little bit. You've got this story that's been told to you. You've listened, but now it's wisdom required to examine what's really going on. And sometimes we hear stories from others. Sometimes we hear stories from ourselves. And we need the wisdom to examine what's really true. Solomon takes a very unique approach. Verse 24, the king says, "Bring me a sword." So they brought a sword for the king, and he gave the order, "Cut the living child in two and give one half to the one woman and one half to the other." They're going to fight over the child. I can't make a determination. It's a he said, she said, or in this case, a she said, she said. We'll just split what we have and they'll each be happy, right? Well, of course not. The woman whose son was alive was filled with compassion for her son and said to the king, "Oh, please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him." But the other said, "Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in half." Every time I read this story, I'm appalled at the depravity of this second woman. And then I look at my own life. And how many times have I said, "Well, if I can't have it, you can't have it either." May not use those exact words. It's my way or the highway. And that's not godly leadership. Godly leadership examines the truth of the matter. And Solomon used this wisdom to examine. Obviously, he lived in a time there wasn't DNA testing that he could say, well, let's just test DNA and we'll eventually figure out who the real mom is and we'll settle this. He had to come up with a different solution to expose the real mom from the fake mom. And he used wisdom, I believe, that God gave him in order to examine the circumstances to discover the truth. Now, when we consider the wisdom to listen and the wisdom to examine, it ought to lead us to a position where we grow in our wisdom to acknowledge. We can examine all we want and we can jump to conclusions of our own all we want. But a true listening to God, a true listening to people, a true examination of what God is saying and what the true facts of the matter are ought to lead us to an acknowledgement that God's in charge. That he's the source. Solomon had examined what was going on. He recognized that God had put not only him on the throne, but his father on the throne. And so in verses 7 through 9, we go back to Solomon's response and his acknowledgement of who God is. But it also includes an acknowledgement of who he is. He says, now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But this is what I acknowledge. This is what I know. But God, I am only a little child, and I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people that you have chosen, a great people, a people too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? This wisdom to lead is an acknowledgement that I actually can't do it. The wisdom to lead says I need help, I need God. One of the difficulties in the early history of the kings of Israel, which began with King Saul, was King Saul actually thought he could do it. He kind of liked the position of being king. Now, he didn't at first. You go back and read how he was selected and anointed and set apart to be king. He was just as hesitant as David was. But it quickly got to his head. And he became one of those arrogant leaders that thought his way was better than anyone else's, and his way was even better than God's. And David comes along, a servant that God describes as a man after his own heart. Not a perfect man by any stretch of the imagination. There's plenty of scripture revealing his sin and his disobedience to God, but a repentant man. A man that would seek wisdom. And Solomon acknowledges that the work of leadership is too big for a human to do. It requires the help of God. And as you use the gift of leadership in whatever aspect that God calls you to lead in, seek that wisdom that acknowledges you need God. That you can't do it without him. I think of this acknowledgement. As we listen to people, as we examine the facts of what's going on, I believe it's important that we acknowledge that we understand at least we understand their version. Solomon does that in verse 22. We skipped over, verse 23. We covered 22. Verse 23, we skipped over. I want to go back to that. Because this is Solomon's acknowledgement. The women have told their stories. And I'm guessing, and again, I read into Scripture sometimes and try to put myself there. And in my mind, excuse me, I picture Solomon on his throne and he hears this story. And he's just scratching his head thinking, what do you want me to do about this? In verse 23, I read it this way. It's the Tom Lemler paraphrase. So what you're telling me is your son's alive and your son's dead. And you're telling me your son's alive and her son's dead. So you're both telling me the same story, just switching the parties involved. Sometimes it's important to acknowledge what we hear. Is this really what you're saying? Because it doesn't make sense. Maybe you've been there. I know I have. I've said something and somebody says, is that what you're saying? I said, no, I didn't say that. And then they quote me and it's like, well, I guess I did say that. That's not what I meant. And this wisdom to lead acknowledges so that we're able to come together on the same page. Many times the differences that we experience in life are due to misunderstandings that if we would simply step back and say, this is what I heard. Is that what you really said? We could resolve a lot of problems. And when we lead in life, it's so easy to jump to conclusions without acknowledging what the truth of the situation is. It's the last part of the wisdom to lead that we often struggle with the most because it kind of puts us on the spot. The wisdom to lead requires that we have the wisdom to listen, the wisdom to examine, the wisdom to acknowledge, but it also means we have to have the wisdom to decide. We can't just leave it hanging. A decision has to be made. Now, God may direct the timeline of that, and sometimes we think we have to make an immediate decision, and He says, no. You're still in the fact-gathering segment of this. You're still in the examination part. You're still in the acknowledgement part. It's not time yet for a decision. Sometimes it is time for a decision and we just keep putting it off because we know it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. 1 Kings 3, verses 10 through 14, we see God's decision in response to Solomon's listening, in response to Solomon's examination, in response to Solomon's acknowledgement of his need for God. He says, the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. And so God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never be anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. the decision of God was, I'm not only going to give you what you ask for in humility, I'm going to give you more than what you've asked for. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's also a conditional gift in there. I'll give you what you've asked for, that wise and discerning heart, because that was an incredible request. I'll give you what you did not ask for. Riches and honor. Because that's what you kind of would expect people to ask for. But there's this third element. If you continue in my ways, if you continue living according to my laws, God says, I'll not only give you the wisdom and discernment, the riches and honor, I'll give you a long life. The decision of God was because you chose to humble yourself. I will lift you up. Three times in Scripture, God says that He opposes the proud, but gives grace or lifts up the humble. This wisdom to lead, Solomon humbled himself before God, and he says, I don't deserve any of this, and in fact, I'm not even smart enough to lead this people. I need help. And God says, because you humbled yourself, I will lift you up. Greater than any that has lived. We look at the decision of Solomon as he applies this wisdom that he sought from God. Verse 27 and 28. After the two women, the one declared, don't kill this baby. I'd rather she have it than the baby die. The other saying, no, go ahead and kill it. It doesn't matter. Then the king gave his ruling, give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother. Solomon knew that the mother would want the baby to live. He had that wisdom not because he was so smart, but because he had asked God for it. And when all of Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe. Not because he was a great king, not even because he was a smart king, because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. God's design and his view of justice is to make things right. We tend to think in our culture a lot about justice, and we kind of make it into a punishment. God's desire was to make things right. This gift, as we unwrap the gift of leadership, we discover that we seek that wisdom from Him so that we can lead. And we have that ability when we lead with godly wisdom. To know how to make things right. Each week we gather and we worship God. And part of our time of worship is gathering around a table with a pair of cups, a cup with a little piece of bread in it, a cup with a little bit of juice in it. But symbols of the body and blood of Christ. The sacrifice that God used to make things right for us. To apply wisdom. To offer Himself. To pay a penalty we could never pay. And we remember that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus each week as a reminder to us of how much we're loved. But also a reminder to us of how much we ought to love others. when we lead. We lead not as the world leads for dominion or power or prestige. We lead in order to use this gift that God has given. A gift that administers His justice, His making things right. We come to a time of decision this morning. It's a time that we listen to God. It's a time that we examine ourselves. It's a time that we acknowledge His lordship. It's a time that we decide to be obedient to Him. If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered to Christ, you've never put Him first, you've never had your sins washed away so that you can live a new life, that's where this gift, this wisdom to lead, comes from. I'd love to talk with you about that decision and about where Jesus is at in your life. In a few moments, we're going to be singing a song, and you're welcome to join me in the room to my left, and we can exchange some contact information and begin that conversation. But as I say each week, generally you're here because you've made that decision. You're here because you came to worship God. You came to learn and to encourage others. And so for those of us that fit that category, our decision has more to do with what will I do with the gift God has given. Where is it that God has put you so that you could lead right there? And how are you using His wisdom to unwrap that gift of leadership? To use it, not to glorify yourself, but to use it in obedience to His word to make Jesus known. If you're here this morning and you need someone to pray with you, if you just need encouraged on what that next step of life is as you walk with Jesus, you're also welcome to join me in the room to my left as we sing and we can pray together. You're always welcome to find somebody near you and say, hey, would you pray with me? Pray where you're at, go into another room, agree to meet after the service and pray together. God's desire and design is that we lift up one another. We encourage one another. And we make Jesus known by the way we love one another. So if you're here this morning and you're questioning, where is God? Where is God's wisdom? Unwrap that gift as you find wisdom from God to lead. Would you stand as we sing?